Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, this is Bitch Slap. I'm Rachel Fisher.
I'm Desi Janikin.
And this is Melrose Place, Season 2, Episode 29.
Imperfect Strangers. Not the one with Balky.
Not...
That was Perfect Strangers.
This is Melrose Place. Desi, it's a little edgy. It's Imperfect Strangers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm trying to think what this is in reference to, and I can't.
Because no one's really a stranger in this except for Hank.
Oh, that's true. I mean, and I would say is a little worse than imperfect.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Okay, let's just get into this episode right now. We start at D&D, and Amanda is going over some accounts with Allison, and they are both overwhelmed. They're like, they have a lot of work.
They have a lot of reports they're backed up on. I feel like we wrote this business script. They're like, reports are due. Yeah. You got those reports?
It's totally, this is absolutely us trying to write a scene about like a workplace environment.
Yeah, put it things in some manila envelopes. And folders.
Staple it.
Staple it.
And stamp it.
We're really in business.
And Allison is like, I just need more time. And at first I was like, oh God, is this going to be an... I just love when Allison is like asking for more time. Like she's like...
With all the wedding planning, I just haven't been able to get to the reports.
And Amanda's like, well... Bruce gave us the okay. The big boss gave us the okay that we're going to hire somebody else. And at first, Allison's a little scared because she thinks this is going to be competition. But Amanda assures her that not only is this new hire going to be there to help Allison with her work duties, but Allison will be involved in the hiring process.
Yes. And Amanda is so over the top about how great it's going to be. I am also, I'm like, what's the catch?
It's
right.
Yeah. And Allison is like thrilled in this moment. She's a little, she turns pretty quickly when Amanda's like, you can be part of the hiring process. At the hospital, Sydney is racing through the hallways, obviously looking for Michael, because where we last left off last week, Kimberly has been revealed to be alive. And she and Michael basically tells Sydney to fuck off because his fiance is back in town.
And Kimberly is there to get what was hers.
Yeah. And so Sydney chases down Matt. And this is a great Matt moment.
Ugh, the scene was chef's kiss.
Matt has just had it with these bitches.
And Sydney says one of the most unbelievable lines of dialogue on Melrose Place. She's like, can you believe Michael's acting this way? And it's like, yes. Yes, I can't believe it. 100%.
Maybe if she would have asked that in early season one, we would buy that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Matt, she's asking Matt where Michael is. And he goes, do I look like a directory to you?
No, he's so free from the blackmail.
Yeah.
Like, it must feel great.
Yeah. So... She's bitching to Matt about how Michael like kicked her to the curb now that Kimberly's back. And Matt goes, why don't you save it for someone who gives a damn?
Yeah. And Matt has nothing for her.
And she's like, she's shocked that Matt is talking this way. This is what happens when you walk all over Matt for long enough and threaten him.
Yeah.
Because Sydney, remember, was part of this scheme with Michael.
Yeah. And they had Matt under their thumb.
Yeah. And he was forced to come to their wedding.
Oh, God.
With only...
That was the worst thing Sydney's ever done to him.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
So Sydney is like... How could you, like, Matt, like, she's trying to appeal to him, like, his compassion, and he basically tells her, he's like, you know what, Sydney, I don't care, because you're finally getting what you deserve.
And that's not even enough for Matt, because then he goes, wishes do come true. Like, I love that this is a dream come true for him.
He's really layering it on, even though, the reality is, Michael and Matt still did something really illegal, even though Kimberly's alive.
Yes. And Sydney is getting what she deserves in this moment, but it's Michael also deserves what's happening to Sydney. Like, Michael, he deserves also to not be getting what he wants.
Sydney's a little bitch who's opportunistic, just like later Kimberly calls her an opportunistic bitch.
But Sydney is miffed in this moment.
Yeah. She's like, she's also shocked that Matt is like, because we know Matt, and you have to really, really fuck with him for him to get to this level.
No, if you've pissed Matt off, you know you've done something wrong.
Yeah.
For sure. Because Sydney's face is like,
she's shocked.
She knows that's a bad sign.
I would be so devastated if Matt was mad at me.
Oh my God. But it's like, if Matt's mad at you, you have zero chance with any of the other fuckers at Melrose Place. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
so then Kimberly spots Sydney and she's like, what are you doing here? And Sydney's like, I just happened to be looking for my husband. Mm. And she's like, I can't believe you. Like, that's old news.
Yeah.
I'm his fiance. She's like acting like, she's like, that Trump's husband. But she's like, you're his fake wife, basically.
Yeah, you don't count.
And she's like, we're going to have a little chat.
And she pulls her by the ear almost, right?
Yeah, she's like dragging her. It's like redhead on redhead crime happening.
Get over here, you little bitch.
It's pretty hot. She drags her into a room and she's like, now you get this straight, you opportunistic little bitch. And she threatens Sydney. She's like, you better stay away from Michael. Sydney tries to like stand up to Kimberly, but Kimberly just shuts her down.
Right. She's like, you're dumber than you even look. And she says to her, and Sydney says to her something like, am I supposed to be afraid of you? And Kimberly is like, my professional diagnosis? You bet your ass. I was just like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, you stay away, Sydney, and you won't get hurt.
Yeah. She's definitely scary. Mm. Like, I'd be scared of fucking Marcia Cross in this moment, or Kimberly. Like,
another person whose bad side I don't want to be on.
No.
But for different reasons.
So Sydney kind of gets this glimpse of like Kimberly being kind of like, I don't want to say evil yet.
Her personality shift.
Yes. But at the same time, it's perfectly justifiable.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? That she'd be mad at Sydney.
Well, you could make the argument like if Sydney had bitched about this to someone, any reasonable person could see like, yeah, it's all, yeah, it makes sense that she would have like, be mad at you or not like you.
Right. And it's like, if anything, Sydney should be mad at Michael. Yeah. He's the one who is betraying her.
Yes. Amanda's mom, Hillary, is at D&D because they're going to have lunch together. And she also tells Amanda that she has a recommendation for this new hire. Her boyfriend, Chaz.
Oof.
Who is the boy toy that we've met before.
And he looks like the classic hair feathered.
He's so
longish
sleazy.
Hair, like the piercing blue eyes. Yeah. He's just such a look from that era.
They don't make guys who look like this anymore. No. Like they really, like you don't see men who look like this.
The only thing he's missing is like one earring.
He needs one earring. Like,
like he totally needs that one earring.
He needs that one earring that you notice the second time you hang out with him.
Yes.
And you're like, ugh. Like you kind of jump.
Chaz. He's such a Chaz.
They also don't make people named Chaz anymore.
It's such a like instantaneous red flag.
Except for Chaz Bono, but he's like the opposite personality of this Chaz.
Yeah. I mean, obviously there's always exceptions to the rule.
Chaz Bono's the exception.
Yes.
Anyway, The mom also cancels lunch at the same time, and Amanda's irritated. And she's like, well, this is fine. This is, you can just have lunch with Chaz. This
he
is,
loves Thai food.
Yeah.
Dude, I would be pissed. I'd be like, I'm not fucking going out to dinner with lunch with Chaz. Are you crazy? Like,
yeah.
Also, the mom shows up to tell her the lunch is canceled. Also crazy. Like
if she had time to go to D&D, why doesn't she have time to get a quick bite?
I also don't really remember this resolution between Amanda and the mom.
It didn't seem like it happened.
I guess maybe Jake convinced her to like do something. Who knows?
But we're on the beach. Joe has a job. She's shooting the same model.
We're still in a Models Inc. crossover series. So they often do a few episodes.
Yeah.
During these.
This is backdoor pilot.
And then I think I would guess Amanda is making an appearance on Models Inc. or Joe. Maybe.
One of them.
Yeah.
One of them's gotta do it. So Sarah, the model that Joe has been working with, she's modeling for this ad campaign that they're doing. And she's brought her boyfriend Hank to the photo shoot, and he's very overprotective. Like, and Joe notices this right away. Because Joe's got street smarts for everyone else except for when it comes to her own relationships.
And this was like an exciting casting if you're a Young and the Restless head.
Oh.
This actor played Philip Chancellor Jr. Sorry, who was a character on the show who dated Cricket, the teen model.
Oh.
I think she did.
I'll ask my mom about that.
So he's like the illegitimate child of Jill, I think, and Philip Chancellor, who was married to Kay Chancellor, who had the first facelift ever on camera.
Wait, what?
They filmed her. The actress had a facelift and she let them film part of it for the character.
Wait. Seriously?
Yes. This is my childhood memory, so maybe it's not 100% accurate.
We need to do a deep dive into that.
No, and she's the real life mom of that actor Corbin Burnson, who mm-hmm. was on LA Law.
Yeah.
So she's like, Kate Chancellor is an icon.
Yeah.
For sure. So this is her husband's illegitimate child.
Okay. Well,
anyway.
Joe notices that this guy's something's a little off with this guy, and he's telling Joe when he meets her that he feels better knowing that Joe is a woman and not a man like he originally thought.
Right. So we can tell he's jealous. He's a jealous guy.
Nobody likes this boyfriend.
He's fucking annoying. He needs to go back to Iowa.
Yeah. At lunch. What is the, okay, we need to talk about this restaurant, because we get an exterior establishing shot of like this tiki looking like with a straw hut. It looks like a straw hut.
Well, it's a Thai restaurant,
yeah,
right? Because Amanda had suggested a really great Thai place that's close by. Where is this Thai restaurant? Because I've never seen a building like this.
I haven't either. And they're clearly not in East Hollywood where all the great Thai places are. I mean, there could be great, there's other good Thai places, but I don't know. I want to know more about this place because I want to know what this restaurant or this building actually was.
I love it. And I loved, the interior. I laughed out loud when I saw the booth.
Okay. The booth knocked me off my feet.
It's incredible.
They're sitting at this, like that classic Miami Golden Girls style rattan.
Yes.
Sofa booth with incredible pastel tropical upholstery.
So it's like huge palm fronds type thing with like teal
and pink and flowers. Pink.
And then it's all trimmed out in bamboo.
Yeah, it's that classic like bamboo rattan furniture.
Yes, but with the 80s vibe rather than the 50s.
Yes.
That sometimes you see. Yeah, it's very Golden Girls, Miami, Palm Beach. Of the 80s, 90s.
It's incredible.
And it's super high. It's really,
I think that's what was so funny about it is like, I've been to a lot of Thai restaurants in Los yes. Angeles, and I have never been to a Thai restaurant that looks like this.
No. It was like outrageous.
It was, I'm like, of course this is the Thai place that Amanda likes, where it's like overly.
I would go here.
Oh, I would go here totally. In a heartbeat.
Yeah. This would be like an Instagram photo place. People would want to sit in this booth and take a picture.
I mean, the bouquet of flowers on the table was stunning.
I mean, it's just, this is a very upscale Thai place. Because most of the Thai places that are great are just like hole in the walls or nothing special. Like, well, the food is excellent.
Yeah, there's so many of these quote unquote hole in the wall Thai places in LA where the food is legendary.
Yes.
And yeah, so
I'm guessing the food here is probably not the best.
Because they're more concerned with aesthetics.
Which is fine.
Which, to be fair, the aesthetics are impeccable in this restaurant.
If they ran out of steam after creating this place, who can fault them?
So Chaz is sorry for coming on to Amanda because in a previous episode, Chaz was trying to play footsie with Amanda while they were on a double date.
I cannot believe Amanda agreed to this lunch after that.
I'm shocked and disappointed with her. You would think she would have more self-respect.
Also, that was an easy out.
Yeah. She should have just, if Amanda, I'm also, this is how you know Amanda is so under the thumb of her mother, even though she's mad at her mom, is because she didn't have the balls to just say in front of her mom, like, in front of everyone, your boyfriend tried to play footsie with me at the table the other night.
Yes. I just feel like, also, Chaz wasn't even there when the mom bailed. So she could have said, I'm not, just tell him I can't. I have too much work to do or whatever.
Yeah. But clearly, as we'll learn later, there's obviously some kind of attraction.
Well, because Chaz butters Amanda up. Yeah. And she likes it.
And he's like a little fancier than Jake.
Right. So she's kind of getting something from Chaz that she doesn't feel like she's getting from Jake right now. Like, Jake is not prioritizing Amanda.
Yes. And he's trying to like beef himself up. He's telling her he's got a degree in marketing and he has experience in the ad industry and that he's young and very aggressive. And he's being very like horny when he says this.
Yes, this is such a horny scene, and I'm like shocked that she kind of falls for it.
Yeah, it was disappointing. And she's like, listen, Chaz, when I work 110%. My work is my life. And he's like, well, I do too, baby, and more.
And she's like, She's impressed. She's impressed.
Yeah. Michael is getting in his little convertible in the hospital parking lot. He's going out to lunch and Sydney ambushes him.
This is a great Sydney moment because she literally just comes out of nowhere and saddles up to that side of the car. And she's like, what you doing?
Yeah. And he's like, I'm going to lunch, Sid. Back off.
Get out of my face.
And she's like, you can't do this. I won't let you. And he's like, watch me.
Oh my God. And she tries to rat on Kimberly that Kimberly's crazy.
Yeah. She's like, you don't understand, Michael. Kimberly's crazy. Something's wrong. And he's like, you know what, Sydney? The game's over and you lost.
Yeah.
He's telling her, he's like, ha ha. And then he peels out of the parking lot.
But he actually says to her too, because she says like Kimberly threatens to like break her arms or something. And he's like, you know what? I'll break your arms. I'd break your arms too.
Yeah.
Like, and he calls her the ex-wife. He's like, you're my ex-wife. Like now. Right. He has two ex-wife Andrews.
Yeah.
He's divorcing both those sisters.
The Andrews sisters.
The Andrews sisters. No, this scene is so classic Sydney. Just like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
I loved it.
Like a sad lost puppy dog.
She's so sad.
At D&D, Allison's brings in a bunch of resumes for Amanda to look over, but it's too late because Amanda has hired Chaz and Allison is like, huh?
And Amanda tries to like give her the reasons why. And I thought Allison actually had a great line where she's like, how interesting.
Yeah.
I was like, that's finally something funny from Allison.
No, this was a great moment between them. Yeah, Allison's like, huh? And then Amanda points out that she hired Chaz because he's her future stepfather.
Which is absolutely why you should not hire him.
Yeah.
In many ways.
Yeah, and why would you admit that to Allison? And Allison is like, Amanda, like she's like, I thought we were working on this together.
Yeah.
And she's pissed off. And Amanda shoots back. She's like, look, Allison, I lobbied hard to get you help here.
classic Amanda turnaround.
Yeah, she turns it back on Allison, even though she completely, like, fucked with Allison.
Yeah.
And lied to her.
At least be like, I know what I said.
And I'm sorry.
And this came up. I'm sorry. I hope, you know, I think it's going to work out, though. Like, something.
I mean, she could even be like, say some bullshit like, yeah, I know we have like a connection, but he really does have a lot of experience.
And he's actually a huge fan of your work. Like, whatever. She could do some kind of buttering up.
And then the camera would have like gone, like, cut to Chaz winking at Allison with his piercing blue eyes. That night at the beach house, Kimberly is out on the deck watching the waves in a very dramatic fashion. And Michael arrives home and he's like, Kimberly. And he finds her out on the deck and she's being very moody and mysterious.
And he says, does this have anything to do with that idiot Sydney?
Yeah. And she's like, sort of. And she tells him, she's like, I'm just wondering how you got over me so quickly that you married someone else. Like, what's up with that?
Babe, I was crazy with grief.
That was amazing. He goes, whoa, Kimberly, I was crazy with grief. Plus, I did think you were dead, honey.
The way he delivers that line. And to be honest, he's got a point.
Yeah.
He did think you were dead.
It's still, look, but to be fair to Kimberly, I also would be like, that was a little fast.
Oh, I 100% agree. But I think, like, it's a complicated situation. We're talking about Michael Mancini. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But you could see someone who's, like, so desperate and lonely, they do something stupid and get married really fast that's out of character and a mistake.
Yeah, like, but
Michael's a piece of shit.
Michael also had been cheating with Sydney.
Yes. He married his mistress, basically.
Who's also the sister of his ex-wife.
Well, yeah, she has many roles.
And, so Kimberly tells Michael that she needs to tell him something she hasn't told anyone else. And it's that she had a near-death experience after the accident. And basically, like, this changed her entire life philosophy. And she tells him that she's been to hell and back and she can never compromise herself for a man again.
And he's like, oh, okay. Well, okay, how does this affect me?
Yeah. And she says, well, last time, Michael, we did it your way. And this time, we're going to do it my way.
And he like, unloosens his tie because he's like, it's horny time.
They start making out.
Yeah. He's like, he's turned on.
He is turned on by this.
Because he likes a woman to take control, I think, in a way.
But not too much. Not too much.
Not too much. But I do think Kimberly is the only one who gets away with it that we've seen.
That's why she's his Achilles. Because he, like, Kimberly's a true diamond level pussy because he will do anything for her.
Yeah, he's like weak. He can't resist her.
Yeah.
She can get him.
Yeah. Anyway, this is a good place to take a break. We'll be right back.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The next day, Joe is shooting Sarah for a perfume called Entangled. Mm. And they're on a boat.
They rented Jake's boat or like are borrowing it. I'm sure they didn't pay.
They will not get rid of this boat. This boat storyline continues.
And Joe has no problem going on this boat anymore.
This is the same boat where she had to kill her boyfriend.
This is where she almost died.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, let's do a little photo shoot for Entangled. I know all about getting entangled into things.
Does the ad company not have their own boat? This must be like a hyper local perfume company, Entangled.
I'm just, yeah, the whole thing is confusing. I literally wrote for this scene, who cares? Like, I don't care about this storyline at all.
The storyline's super boring. Jake is there and he's being so hot that it's distracting. So Joe asks Sarah about her boyfriend and she tells us that he's a farmer and they've known each other since high school. And Sarah then clocks that Joe and Jake used to date and she's like, it's stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Also, she's known him since high school. She's like 18. So she's known him like a few months. Like,
I mean, of course she's known him since high school. Where else would she have met him?
Yeah.
Like,
we also find out that they've never fucked.
Right. That's later.
Oh, it is? Oh, right. Because this boat scene goes on way too fucking long.
It goes on for several scenes. But back at Melrose, Sydney is at the pool with her girls. And they're all in their bathing suits. And Sydney's like, this is our new headquarters.
And she's once again wearing a super cute plaid bikini top with like a little sarong skirt thing.
Yeah, she has like a little matching wrap.
Yeah.
It's so cute. And she tells the girls that she's throwing a party tonight to celebrate. And that's when Amanda approaches and she spots Sydney with this riffraff.
Can I have a word? Like it's D&D.
Yeah, Sydney, can I have a word? And she says, the pool is for tenant use only.
I mean, that's bullshit. You weren't allowed to have friends over.
Also, this is just like another example of Amanda being the most despicable kind of slumlord.
And what is she coming back for? A fucking file.
Why didn't
that's all D&D is. It's reports and files.
Yeah, why didn't she send her assistant to get this file?
She drove all the way from Century City.
Yeah.
To like
or Miracle Mile.
Miracle Mile to West Hollywood to get a file or a report. It's just stupid.
It's so stupid. But Sydney owns her hard. She's like, well, not according to the lease. Like, where in the lease does it say I can't have friends over at the pool?
She like, Sydney is that bitch that has her lease memorized about those type of things.
Yeah.
And she's like, and I just have to inform you about a party. I'm having a party tonight, so consider yourself informed.
But not invited.
Oh, but not invited. That was such a good... She owned Amanda.
She really did. I was proud of Sydney in this moment because Amanda... Like, I hate Amanda the most when it's like apartment stuff because we've all had a landlord like that before who's just like such a fucking bummer and just... trying to squeeze all the like money out of the tenants and not fixing anything.
Right. For what? Who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so annoying. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't hurt her in any way.
She just is like, I don't want prostitutes hanging at my pool.
Like but they that weren't was even like, but does that she even know? Yeah.
But that was the subtext of what Amanda is anti-sex worker.
But does she know about Sydney? Or she just picked up on
it? I bet she just clocked.
Yeah,
she thinks that Sydney hangs out with quote-unquote trash.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't appreciate that.
I don't either. Even, I like trash. She would think we were trash.
Yeah. Back on the boat, the motor is dead, and they're just going to wait for help. And Jake reminds us that he's supposed to have dinner tonight with Amanda and her mother. He informs us, I guess.
I just wrote boat problems. Once again, this fucking boat.
This boat is haunted.
How is this boat always breaking down?
Because it's haunted.
Is Jake a bad mechanic?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Like Reed is loosening the lug nuts.
Things. Yeah, he's disabling the motor.
Zombie Reed is on the boat.
I think that's what's going on with this boat. I definitely think it's cursed. And if I was Joe, I'd get the hell off that boat.
Reed's gonna pop out of the trap door and be like, dead man tell no tales.
Like, yeah, totally.
Like Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, I know. Yeah, he's absolutely gonna do that. They need to get off this boat.
I think
And plus, it's like going to be nighttime soon, and they're just hanging out on this boat off the coast of Catalina. There's no one else around.
Also, what does it matter if they're off the coast of Catalina? They could just be a few like out from the marina. Do you know what I mean? There's no reason those photos had to be off the coast of Catalina.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there was some kind of background they needed.
Maybe.
There was some rocks.
We don't know and we don't care because the storyline's boring.
At Montezino's. Montezino's is a popular restaurant that they go to on Melrose.
Yes.
They always, whenever they have like a fancy dinner or a nice dinner, they always go to Montezino's.
And Montezino's sign is written exactly how you would imagine.
Oh my God.
It's very slanted script. Right? Or yeah, no?
It's kind of like Times New Roman.
Oh, that's, I'm thinking of a different, the next restaurant where she's going to,
yeah.
You're right. This one is the Times New Roman.
This is a Times New Roman joint. It's like, this restaurant did exist.
Oh.
I think it did exist because I think I've Googled this before. Amanda arrives in a tight red dress and Chaz and Mom are already there and they all make a toast to Chaz. And his hair has so much volume.
He went and got some new Aussie mousse.
Stop it, Desi. Stop it. The fucking, not the Aussie mousse.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
The purple
foam mousse from Aussie. What happened to that company?
I don't know, but it was everywhere.
Why was there so much Australia ploitation in the 90s? Like,
oh my God.
Between Aussies and Fosters.
It's
and
all look, Paul Hogan.
So it's like a leftover from the 80s.
The Crocodile Dundee. He brought it to America and everyone was obsessed with all things Australia.
Yeah. Cause like Outback was popping off too.
Yeah. And it was like a delay.
You don't need to tell us. We know that Australians don't drink Fosters.
Oh no. But it's America's obsession with Australia was popping off in the 90s.
I think Australia was hot then.
And why did we think there was like, oh, let's get their mousse? Why?
Because this is why. Because they saw the Kylie Minogue video for I Should Be So Lucky.
Oh.
And they were like, her hair has volume.
It has volumes and waves.
So we need to tap into that Australian volume.
I bet you Aussie had a spray that was like beach hair. Where it makes your hair kind of crunchy, like it's been at the beach all
day.
That
was more late 90s. Yeah. That was really late, and I could never use that spray, even though I always wanted to, but I could never use it because my hair is, I have so much hair, and it's so coarse in texture, so it would just make my hair, like I was trying to get rid of the frizz.
Yes.
So that beach spray never worked for me, but
it works for me because I have like fine hair,
yeah,
and it's like a texturizer. No, so you can definitely get it.
My hair is very textured. Like it's just too big. My hair is too big.
The problem is like no one believes I was at the beach, so I can't get away with having beach hair. No one's gonna buy that combination.
That was like John Frieda's beach. Oh, remember my God, John Frieda?
Yes. There's like a few 90s, like, oh my God, remember Jose Iber?
Of course I do. I have pictures of Jose Iber on my phone because his outfits back then were so insane.
He always had the cowboy hat.
Yeah.
Tight jeans.
Why did every celebrity hairstylist in the 90s have a ponytail? Like, why did they all have really long hair?
That 90s was the era of celebrity hairstylists where you weren't like, I want to go there.
Yeah.
Because they were like, it seemed like, did they just do Beverly Hills women's hair? Like, they were like famous, but it wasn't like cool people went to them.
There were so many, that was like the era of celebrity hairstylists.
Right. He did like Betsy Bloomingdale's hair. Or something. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, like, we did a Hollywood crime scene episode about them.
Where she's in it. She wasn't like the main focus.
No, but
right?
She's in it.
But it's like she did like the kind of socialites, right?
Yeah, like Beverly Hills socialites. We should do a deep dive on Beverly Hills celebrity hairstylists from the 80s and 90s, like Jose Iber, Paul Mitchell.
Oh my God, Paul Mitchell. Remember his photo shoots?
Of course.
They were like black and white.
Yes.
And his eyes were really blue.
Yeah. Yeah, his photo shoots had like this very artistic angle to them.
It was like Herbrits.
Yeah, it was like it was a total Herbrits knockoff. Maybe it was. Was it Herbrits?
Who knows? But it had that vibe.
Yeah, it totally had a Herbrits vibe.
Well, it was also one of those things. Just like, oh, he's a real person named Paul Mitchell.
I was like, no, I don't want to believe that.
No, it's so funny. No,
Frederick Fekai. Who was the other celebrity?
Frederick Fekai. And he's like Austrian or something. Or like, what is he?
I don't know.
He has like a thick foreign accent, but he also has really, they also all have bad hair.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what's insane about it.
That's what I'm trying to say is that the thing I never could understand about these 90s hair celebrity stylists is that they all had the long stringy ponytail.
Yes.
Like, why did they all had long hair.
Well, Frederick Fekai had more feathers. Yeah. But it was all sort of not good, right?
But wasn't Paul Mitchell like bald with a ponytail? Am I dreaming that?
I think I'm confusing him with, now in my head, I'm conflating him with Paul Hollywood. Like,
no, he was no, definitely he had, different. Like,
but it was his hair gray?
It was definitely gray. Oh, here he is. Okay, you're going to scream when you see this picture of him. Look, I'm sure he's a very nice man, but like it just...
Well,
I just
remember his ads. Oh, yes.
He doesn't have twinkly blue eyes. You're thinking of Paul Hollywood.
I remember this guy.
Yeah.
This guy has a look.
He has a look.
This is a look.
No, I just remember seeing these ads in magazines all the time.
And yes.
Here's a good one from 1992. We can buy this off of eBay.
Oh, I mean, who wouldn't? Oh my God. That's really early.
This is when his hair was fuller.
And he's all brown. He's using Hair Club for Men.
Yeah, because his beard is super saturated in color.
Yeah, and even he's more salt and pepper.
But even though you can tell, you're like, I think you were getting some grays.
No, and these guys all had their own product lines too.
Yes.
That was like the start of celebrity like hair product lines.
Oh yeah.
Totally.
Like, yeah, there isn't any like famous stylist like that anymore. The way it's like
the last one I remember was
Ken Pavis, Jessica Simpson's hairstylist.
But what is the guy? Fuck, I can't remember his name. But he has a billboard. Remember dyed his hair blonde.
Wait, the guy who owns When? What's his name? I'm obsessed with him. Chaz Dean.
Chaz Dean.
Oh my God, it's
Chaz Dean.
It's coming full circle. See, Chaz Dean is a Chaz.
Chaz,
that is a Chaz.
But there's also the guy, he's like Asian. I can't remember his name.
Oh.
And he made a splash because at some point he dyed his hair bleach blonde and everyone was like, what the fuck is he doing? He's really famous. I just cannot remember his name right now.
He's like 2000s.
He's 2000s. So yeah. I think he was like, he did like the Lohan, like those girls. He was like their guy.
I don't know.
While.
I don't know if I know this guy. I'm sure if I saw like a
picture. He had a huge billboard in West Hollywood. So I think you probably know him. Chaz Dean. I haven't heard that name. Chaz Dean. What would you say? The Pavez? What was his
Ken
name?
Ken Pavez. Jessica Simpson's hairstylist. Or it was.
Oh my God. No, he was everywhere.
He was everywhere with his little blonde hair and his like pink lips, cutting Jessica Simpson's hair.
And he had like a really bad look too, right?
It wasn't like Chaz Dean level. He just was like very groomed.
Oh, the person I'm thinking of is Kim Vo.
Oh my God, Kim Vo.
Yes. Anyway, where were we?
I just want to talk about this for the rest of the episode.
I know.
We have one star review. I came here for Melrose Place. These idiots are talking about hairstylists.
I don't like their tangents.
I don't appreciate tangents. I come here for serious commentary about the television show Melrose Place.
Absolutely.
I'm very disappointed. One star.
How did we get on this? Because we're at a dinner with Amanda and her mom and Chaz.
And we're talking about...
Because Chaz had moose in his hair. This all started from Aussie moose.
That's crazy. Your fault.
So it is my fault. I'm so sorry.
Well, now I want to talk about Aussie.
Aussie moose.
It was like...
See, that's what happened.
Do you have the roux in you? What was their tagline? Because a kangaroo was their mascot. Do you remember the kangaroo?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And then Chaz. Okay, we were to. They toast to Chaz, but then Chaz toast to Amanda.
Yes.
And it's super inappropriate.
Yeah. And he's like, then he says, I always hoped. Or he said, he makes a toast. And then Amanda, of course, because she can't get through a single fucking conversation in her life without bringing up daddy.
Ugh.
So she starts talking about her daddy. Like, she still has this idyllic view of him, even though this guy's on the lam, currently facing, like, federal charges.
Right. And we get the impression the mom has a very different story about what went down.
Yeah.
And I believe her.
I believe the mom, too. Even though the mom does sound like a bitch, I think there's truth to her story. She's basically saying, like, look, Amanda, your dad was a piece of shit. And Amanda and her mom start sparring and arguing about her dad. And Amanda's like, well, at least my dad was there. You left when I was 12.
I mean, that's where Amanda's got the mom. Because she should have taken Amanda if she wanted to leave.
Yeah. And so Amanda storms off and then Chaz follows her. Oh, wait, but before Amanda storms off, Chaz has a great line. He says, I think we should move on. Like, he gets uncomfortable with this fight. Because
it's
having.
Like a 5-minute long fight.
It's so long, and Chaz just goes, well, I think we should move on.
Yeah, I agree, Chaz.
He's like, this was supposed to be about me.
That's what Chaz would have said after we were talking about Harrison for so long.
Yeah. Chaz follows Amanda, and he wants to explain. He's like, look, your mom's job at Models Inc. is really demanding. She's really stressed out. She's a lot on her plate. And Amanda's like, I just need to cool off.
I like when he also says, I care about you too. Like, he's a stepdad.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not her stepdad.
No.
She's an adult. That doesn't happen anymore.
Well, if they were married and this was maybe an age-appropriate guy.
I mean, she would say, that's my stepdad.
Yeah.
Like, as a technical term.
But he's trying not to her loving. Her.
Yeah. It's like, she's too old to be the father figure unless it evolves into that, maybe. Like,
yeah. It's just funny. Back on the boat. Mm. Back on the fucking boat.
Still boring.
They're still waiting. Sarah's tired and she's like, I haven't gotten a lot of sleep since Hank's been here. And then she has to remind us that she doesn't mean sex. And Joe asks, she goes to takes a nap. And Joe asks Jake how him and Amanda are doing and if they'll be together for a long time. And he says, maybe. But then he says, you know, she's like a career woman and I don't know if she really wants a family. And Joe's like, Jake, you'd be such a good father. And then that gets him fucking rock hard when she says that.
Yeah.
Because he touches her face and goes in for a kiss. And she goes, don't. I don't know how she resisted. Like, I just have to say, the most interesting part about this boat storyline is how hot Jake looked.
He looked great.
He had windswept hair. He was wearing just a plain white t-shirt with jeans.
He had like the perfect tan.
He looked stunning.
Yeah.
And so I can't believe it's like, it's Amanda's boyfriend. She stole Jake from you. Just kiss him.
Who cares?
Normally I would be like against this kind of behavior, but in this circumstance, I would say just kiss him.
Well, especially after what we see later.
Oh yeah. Yeah. At Sydney's party, Sydney's in like a businessy dress.
That's her madam look.
That's her madam look. She's trying to be professional. And Sydney's like, oh, I missed you girls. And she's having a great time. She's like, feels so powerful holding court in her tiny apartment at Melrose Place.
Yeah.
This is a major step down from Lauren's palatial mansion.
And the beach house even.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
That too. But it's definitely a step down. No, so it's several steps down.
Yeah.
And so Lauren suddenly bursts through the door and she's like, well, well, well. And Sydney's like, Lauren, you're out of prison. And she's like, my lawyer got me off on a technicality.
Okay.
No explanation there.
Yeah.
We don't need it. And Lauren is like, ladies, the party is moving. We're going to my house.
Yeah.
And Sydney's bummed. She's like defeated. She's like, because she lost. And then the girls leave immediately. And Lauren stays behind with her goon. She's brought like a goon with her.
And in Sydney's mind, she's like, so we're going to renegotiate now.
Sydney's an idiot. She's like, so our deal that I forced you to enter into while you were in prison, essentially.
Right.
Let's renegotiate. And Lauren's like, you owe me $15,000, Sydney. And she's like, no way. We said it was 50-50. And Lauren says, I distinctly recall it being 75-25. And then Sydney starts to argue. And that's when Lauren's goon smashes a picture on the wall with his fist and glass goes everywhere.
Yeah.
It was really dramatic.
He's also like the least intimidating goon.
No, he looks like someone's dad.
He's just like an old guy.
He's just like a slightly out of shape older guy.
With a perm.
Yeah. He's not intimidating, but he does smash this picture frame with his fist. And Sydney's like, well, I have 10 grand in the bank. I can withdraw it tomorrow. And Lauren's like, well, what about the rest? And Sydney's like, I mean, I can get it to you at some point. And that's when the goon takes a big vase and smashes it on the floor.
Yeah.
And she's like, and Lauren's like, oh, get me my money by the end of the week, Sydney. And by the way, you can't make your money back working for me. So Sydney's just out completely. She's like completely shunned.
And Lauren's basically like, you did a good job. Too good.
Yeah.
So Lauren's like, I'm not having competition.
Yeah.
She wants Sydney gone.
The next day, Amanda and Jake are talking in the courtyard. He apologizes about missing dinner. And she doesn't want to hear it because she's mad. She's like, I needed you there, Jake. And she had a really bad time and he just wants to help. And she's like, fine, you can make it up to me. Take me out to dinner tomorrow night.
Yeah.
So now he really has to show up for this dinner.
He cannot bail.
He can't bail on dinner this time. At D&D, Allison's on the phone when Bruce and Chaz approach. And Allison gets off the phone and she's trying to insert herself into this conversation. And I felt really bad for her because they're just completely ignoring her.
Right.
Because Bruce and Chaz are talking about poker. And Allison goes, did someone mention poker? And Bruce is like, I have a house in Brentwood and we can play poker at my house.
And Allison's like, I play a mean 5-card stud or whatever draw. 5-card draw.
And no one reacts to it.
No. And they're like, we want to play a different game. We play a different game. Like,
yeah, we want that. It's very heavily implied that this is going to be like a boys fun party.
I know.
Like a boys time. Right. Just by the way, they were kind of ignoring her. Anyway, this is all to set up the fact that Bruce is enamored with Chaz. Because he tells Allison, he's like, remind me to thank Amanda for hiring Chaz.
Yeah.
And Allison's like, damn, Chaz, Bruce really likes you. And then she switches gears. She's like, hey, what's going on with this account? And Chaz is like, oh, I haven't finished it yet. I started it, but I haven't finished it yet. And Allison's like, well, can you finish it? And he's like, no, you do it.
Maybe you better finish it. He's not finishing the report.
No.
He's got to learn poker.
Chaz doesn't even know how to play poker. That was just a ruse to get in good with the boss.
Fucking Bruce.
And so we get this, Allison's like, oh my God, Chaz is a bad guy.
Yeah.
He's shady. Banging on Joe's door. Oh, okay. This banging sounded like the FBI.
Yes.
It's Sarah, though.
It's urgent.
It's urgent, and she's in tears because of Hank. They had a fight because he's jealous she's a model, and he hit her.
Yeah.
And Joe hugs her, and she's like, you're not going back to Hank. You're going to stay with me. And I laughed out loud when she said, it'll be safe here.
Yeah.
We know what goes down at Melrose Place. That is not a safe place.
No, it is not. Anyone can walk in at any time.
People could get thrown in the pool. You guys just had a peeping Tom incident.
You literally had people in the crawl space.
Yeah. At the hospital, Kimberly wants to fuck Michael in an exam room. And she reveals that she's wearing a red bra and panty set under her white lab coat.
And Michael is immediately like, a wooga.
Yeah.
He's like, whoa. Yeah. Like, it's the first time he's seen a naked woman.
Yeah. He's like, he is stunned. He's absolutely stunned. But he's also like, what's going on? And she says, Is this what I was like, Michael, before the accident? She says something very ominous.
Yes. And he's like, not exactly.
But I like it.
Works for me.
Yeah, and she starts undoing his scrub pants, the little drawstring. And he's
I have
like,
to say, that was kind of a hot moment.
It was a hot moment, but then they pan up to Michael's facial expression. He's like, nice.
Yes. It was like a guy who's about to get head or something.
Yeah, he's like, nice.
Nice. Oh, my God.
Sydney is... rushes over to Jane's house and she's pounding on the door and Jane sighs and opens. Poor Jane.
We all sigh. It's like, Sydney, stop.
This is like the fifth time she's done this to Jane.
It's like, you have burned this bridge.
Well, she's done this to Jane so many times where obviously she's done something horrific and monstrous to Jane, but then she does the like coming back crying to her like, I'm sorry, I'm really in trouble right now.
I know I screwed you over.
Now, Jane has gone to Al-Anon, clearly, because she's exhibiting excellent boundary-setting skills here.
Yeah.
Jane rolls her eyes when Sydney says, I need your compassion. And she's like, I screwed up. And Jane does not give a shit.
No.
She's like,
over it.
I don't care, Sydney. And she's like, but there's these people and I owe them money and I'm in trouble. And Jane's like, well, that sounds like a you problem.
Yeah. What is she supposed to do?
Yeah, and Sydney's begging and pleading, and Jane shuts the door, and Jane is like, no, and Sydney's pounding on the door, but Jane is crying, because it is difficult. It is difficult, even though Jane is doing a good job setting a boundary. If you or a loved one has been in a situation like this, you know that it's still very difficult to set that boundary.
Yeah, or maybe she's just fucking tired of it. Just like, is this the rest of my life?
I think she went to Al-Anon. That's my headcanon.
Well, the thing Sydney should do is go to Michael and Kimberly for the money and be like, I'll leave your life if you give me $5,000.
Yeah.
Or up it to
That's
10.
Smart.
Yeah.
That's really smart. Joe tells Jake about Sarah and Hank, and I was shocked at Jake's response. Mm. Jake's obviously been like maybe going to therapy because... I was expecting him to stand up and be like, where is that son of a bitch?
No, he wasn't going to resort to violence.
He wanted to deal with the cops. He should know better.
Yeah, and Joe schools him.
She's like, what are the cops going to do? Nothing until something really bad happens.
Although I have to say, Joe, knowing Jake that well, to drop that information on him, knowing his history, is wild.
I know, this was wild.
Because it's almost like she wants him to go beat him up.
I think that's what she was trying to say without saying it.
Yeah.
Like, hey, there's a woman who's getting beat up by her boyfriend.
And the cops won't do anything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what to do, Jake. But Joe kind of wants Jake to be there just to, like, watch out for both of them because Sarah and Joe are staying together now. And, like, in case Hank comes by, they want Jake there to be, like, a big, strong man. And Jake is like, I have to go to dinner, but maybe you should ask Billy or Matt. It's like, first of all.
And then we all laugh.
First of all, don't ask Matt. He has done too much. And especially don't ask Billy. What is Billy going to do?
Hey, fella.
Hey, pal.
You think you're so scared?
You think you're tough, pal? Billy would try and have like a dance battle with him solve the issue.
No.
So then Joe's like, maybe I'm just being paranoid. And Jake's like, well, maybe I can get out of dinner.
What is he thinking? He cannot get out of this dinner.
And just then Amanda calls to confirm. And he's like, what time? And she's like, I don't know, 7:30? Why? Is there something you'd rather do tonight? And he's like, I guess I'm just preoccupied with the boat and stuff. And she's like, listen, Jake, I don't want to play second fiddle to whatever else is going on in your life. Mm. I need to be your top priority. He's like, okay, I'm all yours.
Yeah.
Sydney goes to a strip club to try and get a job. And she talks to the owner of the bar. And this guy is like very sleazy looking. And
I love this transition too, because it goes from them talking about dinner to a sign that says live nude girls. Out of nowhere.
Yeah, because my brain was kind of expecting to see like Montezinos. And it's like...
live nude girl. I was like, where did he take her for dinner?
It would have been so funny if he's like, yeah, I'll take you to dinner, but I'm not going to say where. You didn't say where we had to go. I took you to the strip club. They have wings.
It was just such a funny transition.
Sydney's applying for a job as a dancer. And he's like, how old are you, honey? And she's like, don't worry, I'm legal. And he's like, are you sure you got experience? And she's like, yeah.
And then they show a girl dancing and it's like something any of us could do. Yeah, but like, what's the experience you're looking for? Like,
well, it's the dancer on stage is supposed to be like, oh, looks like stripping is actually really difficult. But she wasn't like doing any tricks.
No, I agree that stripping is difficult, but what we were seeing there was something any of us could basically do.
They should have upped her game a little better for this.
Right, because they're questioning Sydney, where it's like, well, clearly it just has to be a hot girl moving around.
Yeah,
like,
Sydney can do that.
And there was like, also, they were like, oh, you'll make $400 a night, but this club was empty.
It was empty.
Just a wild scene.
At the hospital, Levin talks to Kimberly and asks her how she is, and he's just like, look, everyone's really happy that you're back at the hospital. And he says, and look, I don't mean to be nosy, but I heard that you're seeing Mancini again, and I feel compelled to tell you that you're making a mistake.
Yeah.
And he's going on, he's like, this guy is bad news, like, I wouldn't want your reputation
to be sullied.
And she's like, oh, Dr. Levin, I'm aware of how destructive our relationship was. And Levin says, well, then break it off. He's a loose cannon with a big ego. And she's like, can I share something with you, Levin? The truth is, I'm on a mission, and it will all be very clear to you soon.
Dun, dun, dun.
Billy arrives at D&D. He's like, come on, Allison, we got to be at the caterers at 6.
Ugh, he's so irritating.
She's like, Billy, I'm working.
Yeah, and she starts complaining about Chaz.
She's like, they hired someone else, but I'm working longer hours. And she's like, and the new guy just happens to be Amanda's stepfather, or future stepfather. And he's like, I thought Amanda only hired young people. And she's like, well, he is young.
Yeah.
This guy, you got to see this guy.
Also, I thought Amanda only hired young people.
When did when did we hear that? And then Allison starts talking shit about Chaz. She's like, and Billy's like, well, you should tell HR about this nepotism crap. And so she's like, yeah. And Allison's like, well, maybe I'll tell Chaz myself. And she gets up. And then we cut to Amanda and Chaz talking in her office. And he's like, you look like you have a lot on your mind. And she's like, just relationship stuff. And he's like, you're an incredible woman, Amanda. And he's like, really coming on strong. And he's like, I've never met anyone like you, Amanda. Not even your mother can hold a candle to you.
What a weird thing to say.
So gross. And that's when they start making out. And then Allison approaches.
And of course the blinds are wide open. Amanda's smart enough not to do that where anyone could see her. Do you know what I mean?
Like, it is crazy how much the blinds were open, because Allison just walks past the window, and then this is the second time in 2 seasons that Amanda has caught 2 people making out who weren't
Allison.
Allison has caught 2 people making out that weren't supposed to be making out.
And she makes like the exact same face.
Yeah.
She's like, oh.
Yeah, she gasps.
And she kind of stares for a long time.
And then the same thing that happened when Michael.
She caught Michael and Kimberly.
When she caught Michael and Kimberly. Chaz does the same thing where he looks at Allison.
They have eye contact.
Eye contact while he's making, kind of smiles.
Yeah.
What is that?
That's sick.
That is sick behavior.
Because it makes you feel like, okay, yeah, this is some, he's being devious.
And he's horny about it.
Yeah. And it's like, he's not really into Amanda either. It's just another little thing a little game he's playing.
Yeah.
But then he closes the blinds.
Yeah, then he closes the blinds. Back at Melrose, Hank is pounding on Joe's door, And Joe's like, I'm going to deal with him. And she stupidly opens the door to him.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey. And then he bursts in. And Joe's like, oh, my God, I'm going to call the police.
Like how she's like, that's what you say when the door is shut, Joe.
Yeah.
You don't open the door and have a crazy guy in there and then say you're going to call the police.
I can't believe Joe thought she was going to reason with this guy.
Yeah.
She should have called Jake. He would have left. He wasn't even at dinner at this point.
Right.
He would have come running.
His girlfriend's making out with someone.
Yeah. Hank grabs Sarah and Joe's like, help. And they're like, Joe is trying to get Sarah away from Hank and they're like out on the stoop. They're out on the landing.
Yeah.
And that's when Hank pushes Joe down the stairs and we get a very dramatic fall in slow motion. And we even get a slow motion reaction of Sarah going, no.
And it's easy to forget that Joe is pregnant. Because throughout this whole episode, I was like, is she pregnant?
Well,
because they're not showing it in any way now. Like sometimes she wears a baggy t-shirt.
But she always wears baggy t-shirts.
Yeah. So it's not like, and she doesn't really talk about it. I guess there was one mention, but it's like not something that's being talked about very much.
No, there was like one passing mention about her being pregnant on the boat with Jake, but we weren't paying attention to those scenes. No.
So it's just funny because it's like, this was a great way to end that storyline and get Joe out of a really terrible upcoming storyline that we have to all suffer through. They could have had it end right here.
Look, I don't get it twisted. Melrose Place is absolutely like, it's one of my all-time favorite shows. But Joe's baby storyline is one of my least favorite storylines.
She deserves more.
She deserves more. Also, well, we won't spoil anything. But there's two characters that come into play that are just so insufferable to me. I hate watching them.
Yes. So this was a great way to end that storyline.
Wow, that's dark.
It is dark, but it's done all the time in soap operas.
If they want to end
a pregnancy. It's like a way to get out of pregnancy without the person deciding to do it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a classic way
to
do that.
It's a classic because then it's like, oh, whatever.
And then we would have like one episode of her being depressed and we would move on.
We'd move on. And then like maybe in season three, she'd mention that she used to be pregnant in a conversation with someone else, like in a heartfelt conversation.
Yeah.
And that would be the end of it.
I would never wish this on someone in real life.
No,
but this is a show.
For the purpose of the show and the story.
Yes.
To be honest, it's been so long since I rewatched Melrose Place. I don't even remember like what happens to the baby ultimately.
I do. Because the baby does go away.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
I'll just leave it at that.
I don't even remember. And I'm like, because I know the baby's not there. I know the baby
right, there's
is,
not like a kid playing basketball in the Melrose Place courtyard or whatever.
No, because this show, because Joe is on this show till like at least 1996, right? Mm. And this is 94 now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't remember when it's Joe
not
left.
Like, it's not super interesting or anything like that. So I won't say it.
Don't say it because I want to be surprised when I see it. I'm going to remember when it comes
You'll
up.
Remember when it starts happening. Yeah.
Well, I do remember the drama in between.
Yes. But yeah.
And that's the annoying storyline.
Ugh, the worst.
It's so tedious.
It's like didn't you learn a lesson from Matt and Katya? Like, we don't want to see children's storylines on this show. I'm sorry. No. It's not the show for it.
It's not the show for
it. Take it to Seventh Heaven. That's where the kids are part of the show more.
Yeah, we don't want to see children on Melrose Place at all.
This is young 20-somethings.
Unless it's like a bad seed child. We only want like an evil child.
An evil child would be good.
That would be funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in general, I'm kind of bored by pregnancy storylines as a device to add drama to a show.
I just think Joe, I mean, talk about a character that really gets shafted.
Yeah.
She starts off with such a bang.
Yeah.
And then quickly becomes one of the more annoying characters.
It sucks. Because I love the actress. I think
I love her too.
Great, and she's stunning.
She deserved a better arc, I think. Anyway.
Anyway, we'll be back. We're only doing one episode a week right now.
It's
just FYI.
Yeah.
So if you're like, well, you guys usually drop two episodes a week. Well, right now we're only doing one episode a week.
Yes. We're taking a break in the next month.
It's summer.
So, but we'll be back to two eventually.
Yeah. Anyway,
bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.